Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning is Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
When Chuck preaches, I do not introduce him, but today's a little different. Next week, Chuck will not be with us because he's got a quarantine before his open heart surgery on the 10th. So, the idea was a month ago, is let's give Chuck another time to preach before he has to kind of disappear from our presence. Of course, we didn't realize that 2 days before this or 3 days before this that his son would pass away. So, but God is in this, and I just want to lift up Chuck to you right now before he starts, and just if you would just gather with me and pray, and because we want to bless him during this time of grief, but also heading into the surgery. Lord, I just lift up Chuck to you right now. Give him the strength that he needs, the words that he needs. Pray for comfort. Pray for peace in the midst of this. Lord, I know this thing with Michael is hard, obviously, and now this surgery around the corner. Lord, I just pray for that surgery. I just commit it all to you. I pray that you'd guide the hands of the doctors, that this would be a successful thing. This could be a blessing for him long term, that you would just bring him through this surgery, bring him through the healing process. And Lord, I just pray you'd be glorified. And again, Lord, we just pray that you would just give him the words to say this morning as he opens the word for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I read the prayer chain this morning, I was already very emotional to start with, and then I read the prayer request this morning, and it really hit me hard. And maybe because my son had just gone through COVID, but having Marge Kramer's Sister Joyce struggling with the same thing. And then I read about the young baby, 2-year-old Emery, on a ventilator, which my son was on a ventilator. So they kind of added to my emotion this morning. And I'm going to apologize one time before I start. I'm going to do my best to keep composed this morning, because the message I've got, I believe, is very important. And I promised Eveline I'd do it. my hour and a half message in 30 minutes, so I'm going to have to move right along. I do want to thank everyone, though, who has prayed for us, has prayed for my son's family, and all the wonderful comments on social media and the messages that I've gotten. Thank you all. It is so encouraging to have this kind of a family, and we are a family. I want to start today's message with a scripture that I think is going to kind of help set the stage. The ESV version of the Bible calls this godlessness in the last days. Thank you for doing that. If you can kind of keep on top of it, that helps me a lot. So turn in your Bibles, if you would, or on the screen behind me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Avoid such people. That is the word of the living God. Now, lately, some of our conversations and discussions have had a common theme, that of dissatisfaction with all that's going on in the contemporary Christian church, in our communities, our state, our country, in fact, the entire world. People especially don't like how things are going in our country. Yet a positive result of all of this seems to be an awakening to prayer, an awareness of the root that our problem is not what appears in the news, but it's spiritual. We're in a battle, folks. We are in spiritual warfare, and this is as intense as I've ever seen it. Of course, I'm fairly young. Right. But it's no surprise, really. I mean, we've got the pandemic, a country that has embraced ungodliness, wickedness, and evil for way too long, an administration that doesn't value our God-inspired Constitution, and a Supreme Court that believes it has the authority and is changing God's immutable laws and standards. In spite of the abundant blessings that surround us, there's rarely a day when everything doesn't go to plan. When we're struggling with something or something we've been counting on falls short of our expectations, or we've received some kind of bad news, I mean, I can attest to that. And it's hard not to be disappointed and sometimes almost discouraged. And I think most Christians are sick of the way we're all headed. And maybe the situation isn't what you hope for. That job you thought would be perfect isn't quite what you expected. Your home life can sometimes be bittersweet with concerns about children or aging parents. These things fill our minds and tend to rob us of our joy. Many of us have major health concerns, and Some have pressing financial concerns. And everybody seems to struggle with the fact that God doesn't operate on our timeline. I found a story on the internet that I hope you find both funny and useful. One Sunday morning at a small southern church, the new pastor called on one of his older deacons to lead the opening prayer. This stately deacon, tall and thin, dressed in a three-piece suit and tie, stood up, bowed his head, and said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." The pastor kind of opened an eye and wondered where this was going. The deacon continued. He said, "Lord, I hate lard." Now the pastor was getting a little perplexed. The deacon continued, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour. But you know, after you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits." He continued, "Lord, help us to realize when life gets hard, when things come up that we don't like, whatever we're doing, when we don't understand what you're doing, that we need to wait and see what you're making. And after you get through mixing and baking, it'll probably be something even better than biscuits. Amen." This is not to say that there won't be times for honest, broken-hearted mourning. We've all been alive long enough to know that such days will come. When my son died, Joy and I were encouraged that he knew the Lord. And we knew this was not the end of his story. In fact, it was just kind of the beginning. Pain, suffering, sorrow, all those things we experience here, but where he's at, there is no more of that. There's no more tears. There's no hospitals. There's no ventilators. That encouraged us, and we were very much at peace with everything that had happened. With all that said, the words of that deacon's prayer ring true because of the work of Christ. His work in our lives, in our world. He's mixing something up, and we'll have to wait to see what he does. And see, I pray that when things aren't going your way, that you'll find the hopeful resolve and strength to wait for and even expect the biscuits. Let me set another stage. Let's begin in a little village in Israel, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. This place assigned as an inheritance to Joshua. Joshua was a 110-year-old leader of Israel and a servant of the Lord who was ready to die. The village is described as being at Mount Ephraim on the north side of the mountain of Gaash. This is about 9 miles southwest of Shechem, and I'm sure that helps you all. You know right where Shechem is, right? But here, when the work was done, this great leader was laid to rest. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Joshua. That wasn't his name, by the way. His name was Oshea. He was born a slave in Egypt. He must have been about 40 years old at the time of the Exodus. And Caleb, who he was generally associated with, was probably about the same age. They were both very closely attached to Moses. And Joshua led Israel in the first decisive battle against the Amalekites. And while Moses prayed a prayer of faith and he held up the God-given rod, the battle raged, but God was in it, and he won that battle. They're thinking that shortly after that, that Moses changed his name from Hoshea, which means help, to Jehoshua, which means Jehovah is help. He became Moses' minister or his servant and accompanied him even part the way up Mount Sinai when Moses received the two tablets. He was one of the 12, who were sent by Moses to explore the land of Canaan. And he and Caleb were the only ones that trusted God and brought back a good report. The people leaned toward the 10 who brought back the bad report, which I think really was disheartening to Moses. Before his death, Moses commissioned Joshua in a public and solemn manner and gave him the authority over the people as his successor. The people were encamped at Shittim when he assumed command, and crossing the Jordan, they camped at Gilgal, where having circumcised all the people, he kept a Passover. And at that point, he was visited by the captain of the Lord's host, who spoke to him the encouraging word that Evelina read in our scripture today. And now began the wars of conquest, which Joshua carried on for many years, the record of which is in the book that bears his name. 6 nations and 31 kings were conquered by him. Having thus subdued the Canaanites, Joshua divided the land among the tribes. Timnath-Serah in Mount Ephraim being assigned to himself as his own inheritance. And his work being done, he died at the age of 110 years, 25 years after crossing the Jordan. He was buried in his own city, and the light of Israel for a time faded away. And this name that was given to him, I think, was the key to his life and his work, bringing the people into Canaan and winning these wars and all these battles, the distribution of land among the tribes. You know there had to be a lot of arguing and haggling over that. But from the miraculous crossing of the Jordan and taking of Jericho to his last address, he was the embodiment of his new name. His character was marked by singleness of purpose, directness, decision, great strength, and courage. In Scripture, strength and courage are often presented together. But strength is not necessarily physical strength, but strength of character and purpose to accomplish something, especially something that God gives you to do. But I don't think we can carry out the purposes of God without the courage to put that strength into action. We need a hunger and an enthusiasm for God and His Word. For far too long now, the contemporary Christian church has shown neither strength nor courage. We have known the right thing to do, but we have been hesitant to do it. We're too concerned with political correctness and the woke culture that we're living in. And you see, I think courage is about marshaling our strength and doing the right thing. God told Joshua to be strong and courageous more than half a dozen times, and I think he's telling us the same thing today. We have God's truth in our hands. And hopefully in our heads and hearts. We have the Holy Spirit as our everlasting and ever-present guide and teacher. But what are we doing with his truth? What is the Christian church in America doing with his truth? Be strong and of good courage. Oh, how we're depending on the Holy Spirit to empower us to do just that, to take his truth into the world. With all of God's gifts at our disposal, I mean, what's keeping us from accomplishing his purposes? It can't be fear. And if it is fear, I think you need to reread this Bible and look at how many times Jesus said, do not fear, do not fret, do not worry. Okay. Knowing that God is with you wherever he sends you should give you the courage and strength to stay on guard against the worries of this life, to watch out for the deception and love the truth, to face anything that comes. He will give you that strength and courage. You can count on it. He promised it. And God never breaks a promise. We do, but God doesn't. I think the season for passive faith is gone. We need a courageous faith. We need a bold faith. We need to feel so passionate, so deeply convicted that this is the Word of God and this is the truth, that we are fearless in sharing that. There's a hurting and lost world out there. And as Jeff mentioned earlier, there's a lot of people, and Skip mentioned even this morning, that believe the time is short. That we are coming close to the end of the church age. And at that point, we're going to hear him say, come up here. And those of us who believe, follow Jesus Christ, will be raptured to a new home where my son is today. Wow, that's an encouragement. And the Holy Spirit will be withdrawn. And boy, I'll tell you, all hell will break loose. But we need to make sure, we especially friends, family, co-workers, that they know what gives us the hope that's in us. Many times you've heard the statement, preach the gospel, of course, and if necessary, use words. Your actions, your life, your decisions, how you react to crisis should be preaching the gospel. And when necessary, use words. The Spirit will guide you. I guarantee it. He will guide you when you feel like, well, I don't know for sure what to say. Yes, you will. He'll help you say that. That scripture told us nearly half a dozen times, be strong and courageous. And I think that is important today. I think we need to really take that into our hearts, our mind, our spirit, and let that propel us. Just reading His Word should give us the passion we need. It should give us the ability to have His mission. The very last thing He told His apostles were, go forth, preach the gospel to the whole world, make disciples. That's our job too. So I pray that you'll take that to heart, that you need to be strong, courageous, bold, and do the work that He left for us to do. Praise team, do you have a closing song?